Good morning, Hope Astoria. It is such a joy to get to speak with you today. I so miss being with you all. I miss your presence. I miss getting to see your beautiful faces. I can't wait for when we can all get to be together in person again. But meanwhile, as we're gathered here online together, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is uniting all of our hearts as we learn together from God's Word each week, and as we pray and as we worship together in these Sunday services. And so, with that said, would you join with me in prayer as we begin today? God, we thank you for this community of faith. We thank you for this time that you've carved out in our lives to receive from you, the living God, and learn from your word. Lord, we open our hearts wide to you. We say we want all that you have for us today. Holy Spirit, come and welcome. Would you plant your truth in our hearts out of your word today? Would you shape us, form us, make us into the worshipers of God that you desire us to be? We praise you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been in a sermon series entitled Growing in Prayer, and the last couple of weeks we've learned about the prayers of lament and of confession, and this week we want to learn about the prayer of adoration. Now, adoration might not be the first thing that comes to mind when you think about prayer, so you might be wondering, what is the prayer of adoration? Good question. If we turn to the dictionary, it defines adoration as deep love and respect and as worship and veneration. So a prayer of adoration is simply a time of prayer where we're expressing our love to God. It's a time where we're recognizing who God is, his character, and then we're responding to that with praise and delight and honor. At its core, adoration is simply worship. It's a time of worship. Now, you could say to be a Christian is to worship God, to worship Jesus. And yet, as we're being honest here together with each other, I think we might perhaps admit that adoration prayer isn't always top of mind. Adoration prayer can kind of end up being like a side dish in our meal of prayer. Right? When we pray, the main dish that we come for, that we're excited for, the steak, the entree, so to speak, is usually supplication, telling God about our needs, asking him for help. And we are going to talk more about that, actually, next week. I'm excited for that. But meanwhile, you know, adoration is, I don't know, like a great side of cauliflower. It's tasty. It's healthy. But we might not miss it if we skip it, you know, it's perhaps how we might feel. Right? Often there's not a huge feeling of need to have to spend time praising and worshiping God. And perhaps that's why there are so many scriptures reminding us, inviting us, and indeed commanding us to praise God. Perhaps God, in all his wisdom, knows our human tendency to miss out on this important kind of time with God. So let's take a look together at the book of Psalms. As Pastor Chris has mentioned previously in this series, the book of Psalms in the Bible is a collection of 150 ancient songs and prayers. And it's often considered the prayer book of the Bible. From it, we can learn how to express our hearts to God in prayer in all different kinds of situations. Now, the Psalms are actually made up of five smaller books which have been put together to make what we call the book of Psalms. And if you look closely at the Psalms, you'll actually see them labeled. Now, book 1 is Psalm 1 through 41, book 2 is Psalm 42 through 72, etc. Scholars of the Psalms have noted that the Psalms are actually deliberately arranged in an intentional sequence. And what we see is that each one of these five smaller books is purposefully concluded with a very similar statement, a doxology that scholars believe serves to remind us of the main point of all the Psalms. So let's take a look at these doxologies together. At the close of book 1, Psalm 41:13, we see this. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. At the close of book 2, Psalm 72, says this. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And at the close of book 3, we see it says this. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And at the close of book four, it says this: Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen, praise the Lord. And serving as an exclamation point to not only close out book five, but to close off the entire book of Psalms, is a series of five hallelujah psalms. Hallelujah means God be praised. And in particular, the very last psalm, Psalm 150, scholars observe, seems to have been written specifically to cap off the entire collection of psalms and drive home its takeaway message. Okay, so here's Psalm 150 in its entirety. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just in case we were so dense that we weren't quite getting the message of what we're being instructed and invited into, this psalm makes it crystal clear. God is worthy of praise, and we are called to praise him. Here's what the authors Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart say about this remarkable conclusion of the Psalms. This is from their wonderful book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, highly recommended. They say, these concluding psalms punctuate the main point of the Psalter. God is to be praised. We do well to heed this call on a continuing basis. God is worthy. Hallelujah. So the Psalms repeatedly remind us to praise God, as well as model for us prayers of praise to God. So based on what we see in the Bible's prayer book, the Psalms, and really throughout Scripture, it seems like taking time to praise and adore God is meant to be rather central to our life with God. A bit more like the steak entree, and perhaps less like the cauliflower side dish in our prayer diet. Now, why might this be? Why is praise so important? I mean, we understand here that we're being told to do it and that it is right and good. But why? Why does it matter? Now, I think it's helpful as we start to look at the why, the purposes of praise, that we start by naming that we could have some understandable confusion about why we praise God, because our view of praising God is likely colored by our experiences of giving and receiving praise with people. Now, for example, I am totally a words person. I really appreciate words of encouragement and affirmation. My husband, meanwhile, is the opposite. Sometimes I feel this deep kind of gushing desire to tell him something I really appreciate about him. And it's not unusual for him to respond to that by feeling deeply uncomfortable. One time he actually got a bit offended when I praised him and asked me if I thought he was insecure and needed to hear these positive things. I said, no, I just appreciate you. He's gotten better over the years at dealing with my need to praise him, but it's still not his cup of tea. So, all of that is to say, in our society, we have different experiences with praise. And people offer praise for different reasons. It might be that, you know, someone's in a position of authority or considered qualified to judge someone's performance, like a boss praising the work of their intern. Or perhaps out of love, we praise someone to help bolster their sense of identity so that they know they're good at something, and we want them to feel good about themselves. At times, our human praise can even be wrongly motivated. Like when it descends into flattery or trying to stroke someone's ego to get something from them. And so all this means that as we press into praising God, our souls, you know, if we're kind of even like subconsciously, you know, allowing these human views of praise to shape how we feel about praising God, our souls would feel very awkward indeed, because we're not in a place to judge God, nor does he need any bolstering in his sense of identity. And we're not praising him in order to make him like us more, show us favor. No, he loves us unconditionally already. Ultimately, we worship God because he's worthy of it. And in a perfect world, if we were perfect souls, our spontaneous cry would be an exclamation of praise at just the thought of God. The way you have that spontaneous bursting reaction on exceptional occasions, like when you see a beautiful sunset or a breathtaking view. You know, there are those times in life where you just can't help but say, wow. And one day in heaven, we will all say, wow, to God. People of every tongue and tribe and nation will gather in praise and worship God. One day, our prayers of adoration will be completely natural, full of joy and constant. Until that day, we live in an imperfect world, and our love for God is imperfect. And here on earth, we worship God, again, because he's worthy of it. And as we do, we're rooted back into what's true. The world constantly tries to pull us in different directions, and God's word says that we contend with a real enemy who's a liar, who's constantly trying to make false accusations and distort what's true. But the prayer of adoration, of worship, grounds us in truth. It plants like a huge stake in the ground, you know, deep into what's true, and it brings clarity to our lives. And that then allows us to grow more in love with God, deeper in relationship with him, closer to him. We change as we worship God. He doesn't, but we do. Now, I want to propose to you that as we take time to adore God, to express our praise to him, we engage in spiritual battle. And it's through worship and praise that our battles are won. If you could hang on to one thing today, let it be this. Adoration wins the battle. Adoration wins the battle. Now, in Scripture, there are examples of literal battles being won through worship and praise alone. In the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 20, the Israelites, or the people of God, win a huge battle. And in this battle, they simply worship God on the way to the battlefield. And when they arrive, they find that all their enemies have been destroyed. And similarly, in the New Testament, in Acts 16, we see the Apostle Paul and his ministry partner Silas wrongfully in prison. And they're praying and singing to God while they're in jail, and then suddenly the ground shakes and they're miraculously set free. These kinds of stories scattered throughout Scripture demonstrate in a marked way the power that's inherent in worshiping and praising God. And that same supernatural power that so dramatically changes these external situations is also at work to transform us from within when we engage in adoration. When we take time to praise and worship God, we win the most important battle. And that's the battle that's raging for our very souls, for our hearts, for our minds, for how we see the world, for what we believe is true. Now, we're told in the Bible that there's a battle raging that's been raging since the dawn of time, and it's our own hearts that are on the line. We see God make the first of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Worship me and me alone." And we see Christ himself when he came to earth in human form, having to fight this same battle as he tempted in the wilderness to turn away from God the Father. And of course, thankfully, he doesn't yield. We also see ourselves engaged daily in this battle as well. It would be foolish to think we weren't. When we pray, adoring God, worshiping God for who he is, our souls are renewed, our minds are transformed, our hearts are strengthened with the truth. In adoration, we fix our eyes on who God is, we resist the enemy, we reject his lies, and in adoration, we win the battle, the inner battle for our hearts. And in adoration, we're equipped for battle, the external battle of our circumstances. This type of prayer wins the battle, both within and without. In adoration, we meditate on who God is, we soak it in. Picture soaking it in like a hot bath until every tense and resistant place in our souls relaxes and releases. And we come to rest fully in who God is. We trust and depend on him as we worship and praise him. In this crazy and taxing time, I think we're all in need of that hot bath. We're all in need of rest and release. We're all dealing with something and longing for a recharge, something that will give us fresh strength and fresh hope each and every day. to face whatever's on our plates. There's just something about being in month 7 of the pandemic, you know, constantly surrounded by strife that's just chronically draining and depleting of our energy. And for many of us, what's being asked of us is far more than what would ever be considered normal. And yet it's become our new normal because it's been months now where this has been our reality. And so, you know, we just try to make it through each day as best we can. How amazing would it be to have a daily, reliable source of fresh strength and hope to face whatever you've got coming at you? A source of power and renewal from within and equipping for whatever you're facing in your circumstances. Maybe you've been fighting for justice and are disturbed to the core of your being by the things you're seeing in the news and hearing around you. Or maybe you're directly experiencing injustice in so many ways yourself. You know, as we advocate for what is right and good in a world that is horribly broken, it can be exhausting. In our own strength, we don't have enough. But there is one who does have enough and who sustains us. God is inviting us, one and all, come and be renewed. Soak in who the Lord is. Let him refresh and restore your mind with his goodness, with how he sees things. Let him renew you with the hope that comes from his eternal perspective, his sovereignty, his might, with the hope that comes from his beating heart for what is just and right and good, with the confidence that comes from knowing that the King is on his throne, he is at work, and we are not alone. Come and receive the strength that you need to be able to keep fighting the good fight that God has called you to. Where will that strength come from? Where will that hope and renewal come from? It comes from God himself. As we worship and praise who he is, his Holy Spirit comes and fills us. Maybe you're a teacher or a parent or even a child or youth today dealing with the insanity of the current school system. Are you lonely from maybe 7 months of semi-solitary confinement or struggling financially because of lost wages or hits to your business? Are there just so many needs and heartaches, or just the state and condition of our nation and the world is kind of weighing on you? I know it's been weighing on me at times. It's like there's just this constancy of distress in the air. It's like breathing in smog, and we need fresh air. Come and be renewed. Come and be transformed from within through praising God, worshiping him, meditating on who he is. Breathe in that fresh air that God's offering you today and each and every day. Hope Astoria, my family, let's say yes to God today. Yes, Lord, we want to praise you. Yes, Lord, I want to press in to worship you. How can we begin to do this? What does it look like to spend time in praise? Well, one easy way to add adoration to your prayer life is simply to open up scripture and praise God out of what's written there. I'd invite you to consider this week looking at Psalm 103 and using it as a springboard for your own prayers of adoration. You can pray one verse a day or a chunk of verses, or you can even just stay on one line that really speaks to you. And then over the course of this week, work your way through the psalm, offering your praise to God. Guys, trust me, you want to do this. It's an incredibly, hugely encouraging psalm. Keep in mind that as you do this, that prayers of adoration at their core are not so much about what the Lord will do for us, but rather they're about recognizing who God is and then responding to that with worship and delight. So you can enter into this kind of prayer simply by praising God straight up. You know, God, I praise you. I worship you. You're amazing. I honor you. You can go on and on like that. Or you can simply repeat one phrase of praise as you inwardly meditate on who God is. God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Or another way you can praise is to remember a particular attribute or quality of his and just say, I praise you, God, you are blank. Fill in that blank with an attribute, or characteristic, or name of God. I praise you, God, you are good. So going back to Psalm 103, if we were to spend some time worshiping God this week out of that chapter, let's suppose we just start with verse 1, which says this. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. So if I were worshiping God off of this, my prayer might sound something like this. Lord, you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of all my inmost being crying out to you and praising you, proclaiming honor and glory and praise to your name. You are holy, Lord. You are perfect. And I praise you because there's no blemish, there's no flaw in who you are. You are completely and utterly just and right and good. And I love who you are. I worship you. I delight in you. I praise you. I glorify you. I honor you. You get the idea. I actually often pray these kinds of prayers out loud and would encourage you to consider doing that yourself as well, because there's something about proclaiming the truth out loud that does something in us, even if it's just as simple as saying one line. God, you are good. I praise you. I want to also take a moment to specifically note that we can enter into this kind of prayer no matter what kind of space we're in or how we're feeling. We see that throughout the Psalms, that the psalmists pray out adoration and praise when they're over the moon with joy and when they're in the depths of despair and lament. They praise when everything makes sense and they're thankful, and when nothing makes sense and they're full of doubt and confusion and need. We see the psalmists praise and worship God alongside every other kind of emotion and mixed together with all different other kinds of prayer. And we can do this too. Again, the Psalms model that for us. There might be times where you press into praise and you find that you feel dry or disconnected. And if that happens, no worries. You know, just keep pressing into praise and ask God for help. Or tell him, God, right now, I'm not in touch at a heart level with the reality of your goodness or your mercy or your faithfulness, whatever attribute you're naming. Oh, God, right now, it's just an idea in my head that you're good, but it's not something I'm really in tune with in my heart. God, would you help me for this to go from my head to my heart, that I would really know in the depth of my being that you are indeed good, merciful, faithful, whatever it is. Let me assure you, God would love to answer that prayer. And at other times, we might even feel an act of dissonance in our soul, whatever we're praising God for. And when that happens, you know, little Christian alarm bells can go off and we might be tempted to think, uh-oh, I'm not supposed to think that way. I'm not supposed to question God's mercy or his faithfulness or whatever it might be. But the Psalms show us that we can come to God in that space as well, right? With both honesty of where we're at and praise. Let's take a look at this example, one of many in the Psalms. This is from Psalm 42, verses 9 through 11. It says this. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So we can pour out all our lament, our confession, our needs to God in prayer, bringing our honest selves. And that can go hand in hand with worshiping God and acknowledging who he is. That's how we can praise God in spirit and truth, as the Bible tells us to, in the truth of where we're at, and yet still hanging on to the truth of who God is, and letting that shape our spirits, to remake us and renew us, burning away every lie, solidifying us, and what's true about God and life. Sometimes it takes pouring out all the turmoil of our hearts to come to that place, as this psalmist does, of rest. It's that place where we say, yes, all of this is my heart right now, God. And yet I know you are God. And I'm putting my trust in you because you are worthy of it. You are who you say you are. I praise you. You are good. Hope Astoria, my family, Whether we're in a space where praise comes easily and just overflows out of our hearts, or whether we're in a space where we're dry or dissonant, we're pressing in. It's my hope that we'll all be renewed this week by meditating on, soaking in, and worshiping God for who He is. He is indeed worthy of it, and we are called to worship Him. And I think we really need it. I long for that renewal for each of us, for each of you, as I've heard many of your stories, and as Pastor Chris and I have been praying for you in this difficult season. I hope you'll try out pressing into the prayer of adoration. It's easy. Just name and acknowledge who God is. Follow that with some praise. May it ground you in what is true. May it burn away every lie of the enemy. And may you be met by the living God. May your battle today and every day be won through adoration. And may you tap into the only never-ending source of strength and hope, who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would you join with me in prayer? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the richness, the rich food that nourishes our souls, that is your word, Lord. Thank you for reminding us to praise you, all that can be found in that space of truth, of worship. God, surely and truly you are worthy of all our praise, of all our worship. We do. We worship you. We adore you, Lord. God, you are our delight. There is nothing better. There's nothing that delights us or satisfies our souls like spending time in your presence, worshiping and praising you. Truly, Lord, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. We praise you, God. This week, Lord, may we heed your call to worship. May we sense you, Holy Spirit, just nudging, calling in this quiet of our hearts, calling us to spend this time with you in prayer, spend this time with you in praise. May we not be able to turn a blind eye to, may we not be able to ignore it, but may we just be compelled, Lord, and tune in and spend that time, Lord, with you, worshiping at your feet, praising you for who you are, meditating on who you are. As we do, Holy Spirit, would you come? Form and shape us by the truth. Plant in us the truth and root us firmly in what is true. Just burn away every lie of the enemy and equip us, Lord, for every circumstance, every situation that we face. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. We worship you and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.